He strikes out here, though. Trevor Rogers with a half dozen Ks here today.
Well, spin them if you got them. And I'm telling you what, Trevor Rogers is spinning that breaking ball. He's getting ahead with the fastball, but he has been finishing with this pitch right here. And that's a really good slider. A little bit out in front is Olsen. The ball goes right to the outside part of the plate. Big time pitch.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. That is courtesy of Roku TV yesterday. Listen, from the very beginning, did Elias say something about grow the bats and body arms?
That was Andy McPhail.
Yeah, because people credit that to Elias. I don't remember Elias saying that. I remember McPhail saying that. But anyway, Oriole fans seem to connect themselves to that philosophy. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Orioles went out and they had what they thought was a surplus of bats. So they went and bought an arm that finished top three in the Rookie of the Year just a couple of years before then. An arm that they felt like they could do some work with and become somewhat of what he was back then. And they took that surplus of bats and they traded. Now, does it mean the bats that they traded should fail? No, it does not. Both teams should win in a trade. You all always want to fleece someone. That's great if you can. But technically speaking, for business purposes, both sides should win in a trade. Do you agree?
I mean, you're hopeful that's the case.
Yeah.
That you get back something of value and they get something. Like the easiest one to go look at was the one-for-one trade in the NFL where Washington was looking for a running back and they got Clinton Portis, and Denver had drafted cornerbacks in the first year over and over, and they could not find anyone. They trade for Champ Bailey, and both teams got what they want. Now, I don't think in this day and age you would ever see a running back getting traded for an upper echelon cornerback now, but maybe that's the case, but that's why that went down. And it was a win-win.
Trevor Rogers yesterday, 6 2/3 innings. No runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks.
ERA. He had 88 pitches, so some people were like, why didn't you just leave him in to finish the inning? They did the right thing.
Now, right? In his last, what, 3 starts? And you can say 3 out of 4 starts, he's been money. The one start in Tampa, he was money to start the game, and he was just trash after that. Maybe so. Some said maybe he sat too long in the heat. And say whatever you want to say, we know what we know. Last start against Texas, he had 2 against Texas. He was 5 1/3 innings, giving up 2 runs, 3 hits, strikes out 5. Before then, at home against Texas, he went 8 innings, no runs, 3 hits, struck out 4. The bad outing against Tampa, but before then against Boston in late May, 6 1/3, no runs, 2 hits, strikes out 5. So he's gone, giving up no runs, Jeremy, in 3 of his 5 starts. No runs.
Is that good?
That's pretty good.
High score. Is that good? What's that mean, high score?
Isn't that growing the bats and buying the arms?
To a degree, you know, because they really haven't drafted a ton of arms. And again, the one that you were developing, or even if you want to go to Cade Povich, that was in a trade. Grayson wasn't an Elias guy. But they still deserve some credit for developing these guys. And that's the one thing I think this team has done that we weren't doing in years past. Because, you know, when you're talking about, and with all due respect to Kyle Stowers, who's an all-star, he hit 16 home runs. He kind of got on a little tear here recently again. But that's who he is. He's a very streaky player.
And I hope he does well.
So do I.
But the Marlins, or if they flip him again and make something else out of him, which I think they will do, but that's what they do. All right, can we go back down memory lane for a second, Jeremy?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't the Orioles draft pitchers? Let's go to 2019, this regime's first draft. They drafted Adley Rutschman, number one. Who were the pitchers that went after that? Number 7, the Reds took Nick Lodolo.
He's okay.
He's okay. The Jays took Alek Manoah, who's going backwards in his career.
Now that fat boy's up
at number 11. Number 18 was Quinn Priester,
who is pitching for Milwaukee right now. Looks good. He's had some good starts, but again, the jury's still out on him.
The jury's still out on him. In 2020, that was the draft that they took Heston Kjerstad, number 2. Number 3 was Max Meyer for the Marlins.
He's okay.
He's okay.
He started off really strong and then got hurt this year.
Asa Lacy was number 4 for the Royals. I can't find stats for him after 2022. I can't find stats for him.
He's that good? You can't see him?
He's off the charts. He's off the charts good. Number 6, Emerson Hancock.
Who sucks.
He absolutely sucks on ice.
He may figure it out at some point, but man, he hits so many bats.
Now, you can say, well, why didn't they take Garrett Crochet? Garrett Crochet went number 11, the number 5 pitcher overall. Those other teams missed on him, too.
Well, Garrett Crochet, too. Remember, when he came out, they were using him out of the bullpen before they stretched him out. And I'm not saying like that ends up being the case. They didn't know how to use him right away. It's a very live arm, but you can go back and say, why did everybody pass on Tim Lincecum? Why did everybody pass on?
He was the number five pitcher, Jeremy. You can't just tie that to the Orioles. A lot of people missed on him. Yeah. There was something there. All right. 2021, that's the year they drafted Colton Cowser. He was number five overall. Who went before him? Number two, Jack Leiter to the Tigers.
And Leiter's been, he's getting his starts now, but I'm not impressed.
I'm not impressed at all, Jeremy. That's why I'm giving you the side face. Number three, Jackson Jobe, the prospect also for the Tigers.
He just started to get a chance this year, and again, he got beat up in the beginning. I think he's going to be fine.
And number seven for the Royals, Frank Mozzicato. Exactly. He's a man.
Francis, I ain't seen your ass.
Number in the 2022 draft, they got Jackson Holliday. Number three overall was Kumar Rocker. That was the second time he was drafted. Remember the year before?
And he keeps getting his ass
arm
beat.
Issues or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid out of Vanderbilt that everybody fell in love with that ended up having arm issues.
Number seven for the Cubs went Cade Horton.
Who's pitching this year, and he's another one of those guys. You're in that wait-and-see approach with him. He's done everything he can in the minors. You bring him here, and you see what he is. And this Cubs team's really good, but he's actually getting a longer look. He's been fine.
He's been fine. He has been. But he just made his debut this year.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's 4.15 ERA, 9 starts, 10 appearances, not bad. Gabriel Hughes for the Rockies.
That's a poor guy.
He went to the Rockies. Yeah. And then finally, because you don't want to pick 24
Rockies
yet.
Are the only place where they say, hey, man, you're going to the show. Damn it! God! I just got my ERA under 3.
In 23, they pick Enrique Bradford at number 17. Yeah. After that, you know, you can't. Paul Skeens went number one overall in that. Orioles, after that, only Hurston, what's the guy's name? Hurston Waldrop?
Waldrop,
yeah. He was taken number 24 overall.
And we already had a Heston. We didn't need a Hurston.
He was the only other pitcher taken after the Orioles. So my point is, you say the Orioles need to take more pitchers, but those are the guys that they could have had. No, well, not really. Yeah, they could have had those guys, but
some of
are
them.
You saying those guys are better than Rutschman, Kerstad, Cowser, Jackson Holliday, Enrique Bradford? I'm okay with picking those guys.
I think they've done a fine job every year. Even when you go back to Rutschman and people are like, you should have taken Witt. You take Witt, you're not getting Gunner. You're not. And like the reason that Adley was taken there is that they really liked him as a player. You have a switch hitting catcher, which that's a huge plus. You've got the platoon advantage every game. No matter who they bring in, here we go. Oh, we got three righties in a row.
They knew what the slot was for him, and they could slot Gunner higher.
That's why
Gunner was slotted as a first rounder financially because they knew what Adley would cost them.
And they also had to get him to say no to Auburn because he had already committed there.
Exactly. Gunner.
So again, this is where
other people passed on him because the word was he was going to Auburn regardless. The Orioles rolled the dice on him.
Yeah.
And it was the slotted money that was the
because
the
they were able to give him way more than anybody could now.
Because they got Adley and not Bobby Witt.
Yeah. And the other part of this, too, is like anytime we're looking at trades, everybody's a genius when it goes down to look at the numbers and say, oh, they won the trade because he's playing well and he's not. And what did I say from the beginning of this? You guys are all winning the argument right now. You guys can all sit here and bitch about them moving two players that were never going to play here. And then on top of it, when Sowers did get his chance to play here, because he's a streaky player, he was hitting .125.
I don't see how you can say they're winning the argument, Jeremy. They were winning the argument back in April. You're not winning the argument now.
I said you were winning the argument.
Okay, all right. There's no way. I think both teams are benefiting from this trade.
I said this on the air. Like, you go back to it. I can't argue because Trevor Rogers hasn't even pitched for the Orioles, and the one time that you may have seen him get a cup of coffee in the minors with the Orioles, looked like trash, and he was hurt. So, yeah, obviously you're going to beat up that trade, but it bothers me because there's so many people that never watched Stowers or Norby, heard their names, knew their names because of they were the top prospects then. You traded a 25 and 26-year-old prospect to get a pitcher that has extra years on his deal.
Can I go one step farther? Some of those people were begging for you to trade these two guys. Mm-hmm. Then when you got Rogers, they were bitching about you trading these
just
two guys.
Just not what you got for him because they held them in such high regard, which is such a silly thing. And again, the fact that Stowers is allowed to play every day is giving him this opportunity. After he hit those 10 home runs, he did what? He was silent for about a month.
Yes.
And then he just hit a few more. There was one there, and then all of a sudden two more.
Got good numbers.
He got hot. Yeah, I'm not telling you he even looks bad, But good. He does strike out a ton, but nobody's going to care when your OPS and slugging look great. And that's where the power numbers come in. Norby's got five bombs. He's hitting like 250. But all that aside, like, again, everybody was telling me what an idiot Mike Elias was for this trade. Where are you at now? Where? And don't give me this nonsense about him being an all-star. Go look at their roster and see who else was going to be an all-star. Give me that.